So thank you all for coming to our session today. I'm going to be talking about preconception health measurement among Title V programs. So currently I'm assigned to the Association of Maternal and Child Health Programs, which is the member association of state and territorial Title V programs. So we are going to talk about how they're using preconception health data to promote the priority of preconception health in states and territories, and the District of Columbia as well. So just before I get started, these are the things I'm required to tell you. I don't have any financial disclosures, and as a CDC employee, I assure you that these are not the findings and conclusions of the entire CDC. So we're going to talk specifically about a set of indicators called the core state preconception health indicators. And these indicators were developed roughly 5 years ago to help move the concept of preconception health and the idea of women's health into measurement, because what gets measured gets done. And so state health departments in particular need tools and resources to promote some of these concepts. So the core state preconception health indicators were developed in that vein. Just to give you a little bit of background if you're unfamiliar, in 2006, the CDC released 10 recommendations on preconception health and preconception health care. And two of these 10 recommendations addressed using surveillance data to provide evidence of effectiveness of preconception health programs, monitor improvements in preconception health care at all levels, federal, state, and local. So at the time, in 2006, when these recommendations came out, there were no comprehensive measures that states could really use to move forward on these recommendations to monitor their progress towards some of these preconception health goals. And so in response to that, a group of states voluntarily came together to define and articulate a core set of measures for states. And those states worked together throughout 2007 to really define overall domains for which preconception health indicators would be organized, as well as selected specific indicators based on a consensus process that they developed. So again, just to give you a sense of what I'm talking about, these were the 11 indicator domains that the states created to help kind of further define the concept of preconception health and generate indicators within. So indicators were selected based on screening criteria within these domains, and screening criteria included things such as data that was currently available. So again, this was a very practical oriented towards public health department and their use of this sort of data. So what are things that we can currently measure about preconception health within these areas? And just to give you a further example, there were domains such as infections, and then subdomains were also created within that. So the second column is an example of some of the subdomains under infections, HIV, sexually transmitted infections, and immunizations. The third column is the indicator, and the fourth column is the data source. So again, you can see these are all generally national, almost national available data sets. So the idea is that every state or territory can measure these. Okay. So now we're looking back from end 2012, and we're wondering what's happened since this indicator set kind of came out, and how have states operationalized using this indicator set for them and their priorities within their states and communities. So at AmCHIP, we're really interested in this because we're a resource and an advocate for state health departments that do Title V funded work or women and maternal and child health work in the states. So we decided we would take a look at this question in terms of how states are using this data, and kind of also get at this idea of everyone's talking about data to action, but what does that actually mean to state health departments? Kind of what's the current lay of the land in terms of data to action around these indicators 5 years later? So we started with a member assessment internal to the Title V programs, and our assessment had four goals. We wanted to get kind of a global picture across our membership. What was the level of awareness about the indicator set as a resource for promoting preconception health? What was the current capacity of state and territorial health departments to measure, to use the indicator set? What are challenges that they're facing? And then how can AmCHIP in particular, but in general, how can we all enhance preconception health measurement? So we heard from most programs, we heard from Title V and MCH program staff across a large majority of jurisdictions and across the whole United States. All 10 HHS regions had at least one response to our initial evaluation or assessment. So what we heard at this level was that there was generally high awareness of the indicators. So on the bottom there, you see that MCH program leadership, 58% of the time was either very aware or aware that the indicator set was out there as a resource, and an additional 33% indicated that they were partially aware. So there was high awareness of the indicator set as a resource, and overall on the top you'll see high agreement with the statement that preconception health is a priority for these programs. In terms of capacity, 25 state programs indicated that they had measured the indicators to some degree. And really the important thing here is just that a lot of states are measuring the indicators to some degree. They might not be measuring all 45, but they're doing them, and the vast majority of them are doing them in-house, so they have the capacity to work with this indicator set in-house. They don't need outside partners to help them. And they're doing it for a variety of reasons. For the states that were able to disseminate some of their findings from working with the indicators, the majority of them are sharing them with their partners in the local community level or academic partners. They're also creating different sort of communication resources and making presentations at conferences about the preconception health status of their populations. For the programs that weren't able to calculate the indicators at that time, it was really a mixed bag of reasons. A lot of them were challenged with how to prioritize preconception health. I think that's what it came down to in the end. It's either they might not have the capacity because they don't have the priority focused on measurement or women's health within their health department or in the broader community. So it gets to ideas of how can we make preconception health a priority? What are ways health departments can work to make more of a priority around preconception health? And again, here we see the challenges across all the programs we heard from. So many programs felt that adequate staff time was a challenge, but you see the two bars in the middle and then right to the right, there was also this other level of capacity that was an issue, so a lack of political will for addressing preconception health or a priority for measuring preconception health. Those were two things that were fairly popular among our respondents as reasons why they weren't calculating the indicators. So that's more than just human resource capacity, and it might also be leadership capacity or needing more ideas about how to promote this idea of preconception health. And lastly, for the enhanced measurement piece, overwhelming across all programs, people want to know, how do they use them? How do we take action based on this data? So with that, we return to the question, what are states doing with preconception health data? So at AmCHIP, we embarked on a series of site visits. We visited Title V programs in Florida, North Carolina, and Oregon over the last few months to try and capture some of the things that they're doing with the indicators that they've calculated. And I'm just going to run through what we heard. So everything, all the examples I'm going to run through really kind of fit into these three buckets. These are the types of actions that we see people at the state level being able to take with this indicator set. So they're developing communications resources, they're using the indicators as windows or opportunities to help build partnerships, and they're using the indicators in overall strategic planning. So one example of creating a communication resource is Florida. This is a data book that Florida created. They calculated almost all of the indicators and put them into this data book. This is, I think, one of the first pages. It's a summary table of all the indicators, and a U.S. national population as a comparison group. And then they also have each indicator broken down by domain and subdomain, and have other sorts of subgroup analyses and comparison groups within those subdomains. So when we talked to Florida, we were asking them initially, you know, what were the conversations you were having prior to putting together this data book? And they were saying, we had a conversation, and it was really, what do we want to do with this data once we're done? And realizing that they still need to do so much communication about what preconception health is, that their view for this data book was really that it was going to help them build awareness and be a communications tool. So even though it's a very, very, very data-friendly document, I think it was interesting for me to hear that at the state health department level, they still did this primarily as a communications mechanism and as a goal for communicating with partners about this idea of preconception health. Another type of communication resource we saw was fact sheets, and this is a little bit less of you need a little bit less data literacy to really digest the idea of preconception health here. This is from North Carolina, and you can just see it's more of a narrative way of sharing the indicators with other sorts of stakeholders, and maybe even the general public could digest this fact sheet and kind of link it back to programs and services in their community that the health department operates. And finally, another communication resource was websites. So North Carolina has all of the preconception health data available online on an ongoing basis for a number of years. You can click through your subdomain to your specific indicator in a specific year and get this sort of screen, which gives you the indicator for that year within certain subcomparisons. And just because I knew Mississippi was going to be on the panel, I wanted to acknowledge that they have a similar website that they just launched. So the second kind of big bucket of action that we saw was internal partnership building. So using the indicator set and the findings to kind of help bring all these people to the table and talk about preconception health, both within MCH programs as a way to sit down between EPI and other assessment staff and MCH program staff and do strategic planning, as well as to bring chronic disease programs to the table or HIV programs to the table and say, you're doing things that are preconception health. This is the big bucket of preconception health. Look at this data book. Look at these resources. Look at these indicators. How can we talk about this all as women's health and as preconception health? And this was particularly when we visited with Oregon, their whole MCH program was just kind of consolidated within a chronic disease program, and so they were using the indicator set as a way to start bridging conversations with kind of their new department and the health department about where they were already working together or where they could potentially work together. The other sort of partnership building was external, and so we heard state health departments talk about sharing the indicators for their state with community partners, and we talked to some community partners even in some states, and the community partners really saw the indicators as another great tool for their ongoing monitoring and assessment of their work. We heard in Florida in particular that they shared their whole analysis as grand rounds at the hospital. So using the indicators and kind of the findings of the indicators as a way to start talking about preconception health with providers and with the clinical department. And then we also talked with some Medicaid partners who said that, you know, looking at some of these communication resources about the indicators was a great way to kind of get the idea, okay, what is preconception health? What do they actually mean when the health department says that? And what are we already doing that kind of addresses some of those things? So a big thing that stood out to some of the Medicaid partners we talked to in Florida, again, was that, you know, they're already doing a lot in terms of interconception care. So helping to reframe and kind of reprioritize around that was helpful. And the indicators kind of helped them see that all. And so the third bucket of actions that state health departments are taking with these indicators is strategic planning. This is an example of a health problem analysis tool that the Florida Department of Health used to kind of chart out in some of those internal conversations across the health department, you know, what are some of the risk factors and contributing factors to preconception health? And they sat there with the data and the indicators as well as kind of with their own brains and built out this whole chart to kind of then think about strategic planning for their programs. The next piece of that is looking at the data over time as a strategic planning tool. So in North Carolina, there's a very active preconception health coalition that has a number of partners across the state, and they are actually currently in the middle of the second round of strategic planning. They have an older strategic plan, and they wanted to see their data over the last few years to help inform their new strategic plan. So in July, they were presented with the indicators that had been calculated since 2006, just to see what sort of progress they had made, if there was any places that had, you know, improved greatly enough to not need to address anymore, or where they should focus their efforts as a coalition. So that's something that's actively happening in North Carolina. And this was something, this is an example of how Oregon used the indicators and kind of indicator domains to do a gaps analysis of a sort and look at their priorities through a preconception health lens. So getting back to the Title V priorities, the previous speaker was talking about within the Title V block grant, every state needs to identify certain priorities. And Oregon, just for internal discussions, crosswalked it back to the indicators to see, okay, what are we working on and where can we build new partnerships for preconception health to kind of further prioritize and advance this idea. And so they saw some obvious places to start, obviously with their new chronic disease partners, and then building new relationships with immunizations or HIV that are already doing things in the community and they just aren't talking about them through a preconception health lens. So this kind of gets to an overall gaps analysis that leads to internal partnerships. And in Oregon, it was really important for them to kind of identify some of those things to broaden their preconception health portfolio first by looking to seeing what other partners are currently doing ongoing work, and we can just bring them into the preconception health discussions because when resources are getting cut everywhere and you really want to focus on a new thing, this was a helpful way that they were able to kind of broaden what Oregon was considering in terms of what they were doing for preconception health. And this picture in the bottom here is coffee pots at a health department. So you see each department had their own coffee pot in the break room. And so, you know, maybe the preconception health indicators helped bridge across some of those silos. Okay, so just, I guess, in closing, these, again, are the three main things that states are currently doing with preconception health indicator data. Communicating and building awareness about what preconception health is and what we mean when we say it, as well as kind of opening up windows into preconception health for other people, for some of these external partners. What are we doing when we say preconception health and building some new relationships, as well as helping connect all the pieces and doing strategic planning to connect all the pieces of preconception health. So I have no idea where I'm at with time, but thank you so much. Okay. And thank you in particular to all the states that let me come and ask so many questions. That's a great question, and I think when we started on this project, we wanted to capture those sorts of things, and those are proving to be a little harder to distill because sometimes it's more action to data, back to action, back to data, and so drawing the link from the indicator set to a specific policy hasn't been clear, or maybe it's been clear as mud. Like, a lot of states say that this stuff helps them narrow in on policies and policy priorities, but we haven't really been able to distill the perfect example of that so far. Mm-hmm. Great, I'll have to follow up with Texas and get that documented. Thank you.